the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 6th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. Instances of voter fraud are few and far between, but Ohio election officials want to ensure voters have confidence in the integrity of the system.
Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose is launching a new public integrity division to consolidate the office's current investigative work into campaign finance, voter registration, election law, and cybersecurity irregularities. LaRose explains that his office lacks a dedicated team of professional investigators, and those tasks often fall upon local county boards of election.
Elections administrator is responsible for training poll workers and arranging voting locations and mailing out absentee ballots could tomorrow be asked to put on the investigator's hat and do an investigation. Naturally, that's not their skill set and it's not what they're trained to do.
31 contests in Ohio have ended in ties since 2020, with many others decided by a single vote. LaRose says strengthening investigative capabilities will give voters greater confidence that the election system is secure. The Secretary of State's office has referred more than six dozen potential voter fraud cases this year to local prosecutors. Democrats have criticized Republican LaRose for, quote, wasting taxpayer dollars on a problem that doesn't exist, end quote. Mary Sherman reporting.
A new report of black students in the community college system finds fewer are signing up to attend two-year schools, an enrollment downturn that's been even sharper in the pandemic. One Tennessee school is taking steps to change that.
At Nashville State Community College, President Dr. Shauna Jackson says the two-year school has seen lower enrollment, particularly among black male students. She says they're working to form strategic partnerships with Metro Schools grades K through 12 as part of the Better Together and Greater Together programs in Clarksville to help attract black students to the college and are seeing results.
For this fall, Nashville State was actually up in black students overall. Modest, but still increase. Black men, we saw a much more significant gain in our first-time undergraduate students. We were up 14% bigger. Still small numbers, but we'll take it as a win because we have more black males now than we had in 2020.
For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
The Washington Post reports Ian is probably Florida's deadliest hurricane since 1935, and most victims drowned. The Post reports that stories of death emerged from the destruction in southwest Florida. President Biden, Florida Governor DeSantis, and local authorities have clashed over Ian's casualty toll. The Lee County Sheriff told Good Morning America that deaths could range into the hundreds. Biden warned that Ian could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida history. This is PNS. Community members in Northwest Washington are gathering support for an immigration resource center. More on that from Eric Tegedoff.
In September, Democrats in Whatcom County unanimously passed a resolution backing the establishment of an immigrant resource center in Bellingham. The campaign is coming in the lead-up to Bellingham Mayor Seth Fleetwood's budget unveiling on October 24th. Australia Tabone is a member of the City of Bellingham's Immigrant Advisory Board. She says a physical space for people to gather is important for the community's large immigrant population.
Our board has done research with community input, regarding this idea that immigrants contribute in many different ways, not just financial, but also culturally and also disproportionately impacted by a lot of the stressors going on in our communities with the immigration system.
1 in 10 residents of Whatcom County was born outside the U.S. That's about 24,000 people, but only about half are naturalized citizens.
As South Dakota voters prepare to consider a proposed Medicaid expansion, emerging research suggests giving these programs a bigger reach can lead to reduced rates of child maltreatment.
Through a CDC grant, the findings were compiled by researchers at the Moore Center for the Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse. Center Director Elizabeth Letourneau says they looked at data in states that have already expanded their programs compared to states that haven't. She says on average they found a 13-16% reduction in child neglect rates in expansion states.
And financial instability is perhaps the most serious risk factor for neglect of children. And so there's less medical debt, there's less, you know, trying to figure out, do I buy this prescription medicine or do I put food on the table for my family?
With the exception of Wyoming, all the states that border South Dakota have expanded Medicaid. Finally, Edwin J. Vieira lets us know offshore wind is becoming an increasingly popular way for coastal communities to hit their carbon neutral goals.
According to a report from the U.S. Department of Energy, state policies could procure more than 39,000 megawatts of offshore wind by 2040. Because of this demand, more than 340 elected officials are asking the federal government to increase national offshore wind goals and accelerate the permitting process. Some cities are also looking to the lucrative wind turbine manufacturing business as a way to recoup some lost industry. Mary Lupien with the Rochester City Council feels this could be a match for West New York.
Industry has left. We used to be a huge manufacturing city, and we still have many of the bones of factories and industrial areas that could be built back up to support this industry.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, on our radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.